This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back. It's me, Eric, Everett, my co-host, younger brother.
What?
Less equal to me, sibling, and Armand.
Wait, you're the oldest?
No, not at all.
He's talking just, shit, but he got the whole younger brother is less than part. But
inferior brother.
Yeah,
there you go. I'm just making
not younger.
Copy of a copy or something, you know?
Oh, like Multiplicity?
Kind of tasty. Hi. Like pizza.
And, I love and of course, the third Hicks brother.
Armand.
Right.
Yeah. Honorary.
The
honorary.
Elder.
He's the Hicks cousin. He's like the Care Bears whenever they got the animals that weren't bears, but they were still Care Bears.
Sort of mutation.
We are honored to have this mutant, this high-powered
mutated
mutant with
Hicks
us.
Brother.
He's a genius.
Quasi-Hicks.
Extraordinary skills.
So we're skipping VM today. We're kind of short on time in the studio, so we're going to get the voicemails tomorrow when we do the regular show of the week.
Yes.
But
this is just
we're continuing
to catch up.
On with hopefully the last part, maybe the last part, maybe not hopefully. I don't
we
know.
We got to finish it, so that's
how's
why there's
this going?
This
everybody
show
like
today.
This?
I don't know if they're liking it or not. I haven't heard much feedback. I've been enjoying it, so that's all
yeah,
that matters.
Yeah, we do still have an email, info@surrealtalk.com. You guys can...
We never say it anymore. That's true, though.
Yes, well, I'm saying it now.
Thank you.
info@surrealtalk.com.
SurrealTalkPodcast.com.
Yeah,
you suck.
Fuck you.
love your feedback.
Yeah, we would love to hear some stuff.
But anyway, part three of sci-fi tech. Let's run through what we've talked about first real quick. We did a bunch of entertainment tech running from anything from sex robots to the sex headbands, a lot of sex stuff, holographic displays.
Well, most of that stuff is here, right? I would think. Like the robots.
Well, yeah, but the sex headbands from Demolition Man are definitely not here yet. I haven't seen those at Walmart.
I was talking about, I don't know, did you guys discuss these... There's this disturbing trend. You try to get some good old fashioned porn, and it's a cartoon. You guys like that stuff?
Like cartoon, like hentai?
And is that
like
what it's
Japanese
called?
Japanese porn, yeah, with tentacles.
Yeah,
and,
weird.
I'm not
stuff.
Into it, but yeah, people dig that. It's not for me, but
no, whatever happened to old fashioned stuff? You know,
lots of giant
two nuns
this?
And a donkey.
Armand, we had a discussion.
Good old two nuns and a donkey.
Let me ask you this:
Would you
buy a sex robot today, knowing how inferior the technology is for $5,000, or would you wait 3 years?
I think I'm gonna wait.
I was spot on. I said Armand would wait and pay $10,000 in 3 years for a damn near exact replica, versus paying $5,000 now for something that's not as good.
I'd rather have one of our listeners look me up. Female listeners.
Hold Armand, everybody, right on the prowl.
I'll take her to dinner.
On the prowl.
No, I got a date.
Armand
tonight.
Cosby. I mean, I mean. Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh.
You got all the cuckoo sounds, right?
Carl. Quick Carl.
Crazy Carl.
Yes. Sex alias.
All right. Anyway.
How do we get on that?
Yeah, goddamn it.
All right. Let's get to the future. Enough of the past.
For real. So
sordid past.
We wanted to start out this episode talking about travel tech from the future.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So, first and foremost, the coolest pieces of travel tech I've saw in a sci-fi movie was the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah, everybody gets that.
I mean,
that.
Every car in that.
Now, what was the theory behind that?
Which part?
Well,
flux capacitor. It's what made time travel possible.
That's not the travel, though. 88 miles an hour.
Yes.
And then what happens?
1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
Okay.
You flow through the flux capacitor, create a portal, and you go through it.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know why it was 88 miles.
Does he go faster than the speed of light, and that's how he goes back in time? Or what was the actual...
There was no science given. Right.
Some creepy special effects.
All we know is the explanation given by Doc Brown was once this puppy hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Yeah.
That was really...
And then Marty.
Frank, that's not true. I like him shaved.
Let's see if these bastards can do 90.
Shaved. please.
God damn it.
Well, I mean, I have to respond to that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Okay. What he's talking about, see the YouTube replay.
Yes.
Chat's got a little interesting.
Chat keeps fucking Armand up. He can't concentrate.
Yeah, I know. James,
but every
please.
Car in Back to the Future 2 from the future there had the flying upgrade, which was pretty cool. The wheels would fold in, and the car would lift up kind of like a Harrier jet and take off.
Very neat.
You think we could have that today? Because it's 2 years, three years past.
Vertical takeoff, right?
Yeah, we've got that with the jets and whatnot. But I don't mean like technology-wise. Do you think our society's ready for it?
No.
Because think about what it takes to have three-dimensional traffic versus two-dimensional traffic.
No. I'm going to say no. Because one wreck in the sky.
Regular flying cars?
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily think faster than light? Yeah, they might go 150, 200 mile an hour.
But
in
you
air,
got
whatever.
The, instead of having 270, well, you've got them, another 270, 150 feet up in the air where cars are traveling the same, they're just hovering.
Haven't you seen that on YouTube where they're advertising that flying car? It fits in a garage. It looks
It's perfect.
But it only goes about 90? It doesn't go very fast.
It's still fucking pretty quick.
But if you can go fly like a bird flies, go straight there and not
obviously,
bother with
it.
Yeah, but think about a head-on collision at 90 mile an hour, 100 feet above a school or something. The motors and everything drops
down.
So
what if you take away human piloting and give everything over to a computer system that makes sure that everybody's in the right lane, right level?
You would think if they can do like a driverless car, they could. Whatever happened to jetpacks?
So that's in our list here today.
Oh, here it is. Right. Okay. Those are feasible.
Remember the movie Rocket Man?
Yeah.
That horror movie
from
the late 80s?
Thunderball. James
Bond.
That guy was an actually guy. There were like three guys qualified in the world to fly that thing, and they got the one guy, and he actually was
in there flying.
Yeah, that was actually, he landed and everything, yeah.
So there's been some shit in the
middle. That was in 65.
Let me see here. There's been a guy flying a jetpack around lately. I fear
that seems like it'd be more, that'd be pretty cool.
They've
you would
got
think
those,
they could get that.
So they've got those ones that have like a big long hose that extend down into the water, and they use water pressure keep you up
that.
20 feet up off the water.
Right,
and you can fucking,
you're like a hovercraft or something.
Yeah, you can like dip and dive into the water. And
Okay, Martin Aircraft says it has a jetpack that can fly at 74 kilometers an hour, 46 miles per hour, at a height of 3,000 feet.
Wow. That's pretty high.
Yeah, for a maximum duration between 30 and 45 minutes. So you can get...
So you go about 100 and...
Well, 46 mile an hour, you can get half of that, roughly, we'll say.
25
so 25 miles.
Yeah.
On one charge. That's not bad. That'd get me to work and back.
I would jetpack to work every day. But, 3,000 feet up, you know how fucking cold it'd be?
You better have a parachute, too.
What if your jetpack stalls out or you run out of gas? It's a couple days before payday. You ain't sure if you're going to make it or not. Be like, oh, fuck it. I got it. Fire the old jetpack up. Get on your way to work. And
and it's on E. Ooh.
Yeah, hopefully it's got like some sort of backup or something. I don't know, man.
I would think,
retro rockets, maybe.
Wouldn't you think they would have some kind of computer safety? Well, as far as gas goes, it just has to come down. It has to land if it gets to a
Yeah, right now we couldn't do it.
It just conked out.
Tony Stark's suit was like running out, and
he's like, this fire in the rocket.
It would fall like 100 feet, and it'd fire the rocket in his feet just for a second to slow his descent down.
Frank gave a public service announcement. Don't text and fly.
That's good.
I think that's good advice, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Yes.
When
he's
migrating
sharp today, man.
Frank is on it. When migrating these three-dimensional highways, you definitely don't want to be texting.
No.
Right.
Or in the future, by that time, well, who knows what kind of three-dimensional text messaging and video phones we'll have. Probably don't want to do that either.
What's a quadcopter bike? Is that such a
thing? Those are cool. So you know what a drone is? Like the little drones, they got the four things. They have those where you can ride them now. They're big enough.
Bikes.
They're about the size of these two tables put together.
Wow.
And you sit on it, you can take off across the world.
So you think it's the future? Some kind of levitating transportation?
Oh, man. It fucking scares me because of all the implications.
I thought as a kid.
Imagine
if
you're out there driving his fucking quadcopter drunk or something, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man.
I would say you got to have some sort of great license to know, because once you get too many people doing this, you have to start respecting air lanes a lot. You can't go up past a certain distance, then you're dealing with planes.
Right.
And then you get too many people not knowing you can only fly directly down this path in the morning and this path at
night.
I
think you're onto it. It's got to all be computerized.
It has to be.
You can't fly it. It's got to be like a driverless car.
You can't make lane lines in the middle of the road. I mean, in Back to the Future, they kind of had those air buoys, which worked, but I don't know. I don't trust people. I don't trust.
I'm just saying, if the computer is running it, I think I'd be okay with it. If I knew everybody else was computerized.
Fuck, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say tube technology is better than the flying car.
Hyperloop?
Elon Musk is doing. A lot faster than the flying car. Safer, way safer in my opinion.
If everybody takes the Hyperloop, then we can take our flying cars.
Except what if you know how that works, right? There's pressure as behind, and there's no pressure in front of it. Kind of like a warp engine. Anyway, what if you blow the front of the tube out? Will it suck you through the front of that thing? That'd be kind of crazy.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know enough to dispute that.
I don't know what you just said.
You'd have to have a pressurized tube, though, wouldn't you? Like the inside had to be pressurized versus the outside?
I think it needs more
study. I think touched by 12 gauge right in the chat, you got to have a fucking pilot's license if you're going to be jetpacking or flying a car.
Yeah, specialized class.
100%. Got to have a pilot. You ain't getting it on no regular class D or whatever the fuck we got.
Class D license? Yeah, probably not.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do that.
Justin said, what about Boston Dynamics robots? Do you guys talk about? What are those?
No, Boston Dynamics has got these great robots that are just like, fuck, you got to show Armand a clip of the one doing
the
a backflip.
Oh, the backflip.
Oh, the dogs.
Oh, that. Is that what? Yeah, I've seen it.
Have you seen the dogs opening the door? These robot dogs opening
Atlas is one of them.
Yeah, those are something else.
Dude, yeah, those are crazy. What's up, Dabney?
Yeah, they get up and jump.
That's hardly sci-fi tech, though. I mean, that shit that's really happened. It's like Data from Star Trek.
Yeah.
His body is getting closer and closer to reality, if not his mind. But the body of the droids are getting a lot closer.
Yeah, very, very good.
And all the subsystems you need to make one of those bodies work. Again, they don't have the brain yet. But they've got all the quote-unquote AI to keep it balanced and everything like that, keep it walking around.
Right.
Object recognition.
And what's the function of this thing besides just getting
it's
from
fucking
A to
robot.
B? Yeah. What, I mean, what else does it do?
That's just the scaffolding, man. What do you want it to do? Add on the parts. You can make it do surgery.
Well, you know
if
you
what
get I want it to do.
I know. We know.
And I'm paying $10,000 for it in about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Armand is on it today, boys.
Yeah. It's tonight, it'll be taken care of. All right. Transporter beam.
Oh, transporter from a transporter, beam me up. You know?
I don't think that's
you don't think that's
even
a possibility.
Feasible.
They're doing that though already though with the small photons. I feel like
the quantum,
about this.
Yeah, but the quantum,
okay, maybe,
fucking
maybe subatomic
entanglement
particles.
Is
right. I get that.
Yeah,
we did talk about this because we were talking about how you get destroyed and then rebuilt on the other end.
Yeah, you would think, and we were talking about like if you're going to destroy me, build me taller. I hope.
Yeah, we definitely talked about it.
You don't got enough extra mass. You have to have extra material to make you taller, Armand,
and a little longer.
And we talked about the amount of storage space it would take to store a whole image of what you are and how fast you'd have to be able to encode a person, transmit them over any sort of medium, process the receive and process it, and then rebuild it, and it's done damn near instantaneously.
Don't you think out of all these things, at least on this page, I think that's the most improbable.
I mean,
if you can do that, I mean, you're...
Well, I'd say it's more probable than faster than light travel in the standard, space medium.
I don't know about that, because I think if you can master dimensionality.
I'm talking standard
theoretically
space,
go, yeah.
I mean, yes. If you can get through and do another dimension, God knows what's possible.
Right, things are different.
It's not even
that's
the same
more
type
likely
of travel
than this. Yeah. I mean, come on. This, or if we could do this, everything on these sheets, I think, is child's play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think? That would take the most advanced civilization to be able to do that.
I would say so. At that point, you've got your medicine's done. We talked about that before, wherever you can store a version of your body that's in perfect health, and then just separate out your nervous system basically and reinvigorate that and copy of yourself.
Yeah, just regenerate tissue very easily. You're making stuff atom by atom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great.
It's the same thing we were talking about before with the food replicators. Same technology. Building stuff atom by atom, whether it's a person being built from a dynamic scanned image of a person or a stored pattern of an apple. It's the same tech. Holosuites.
But can we be the same person? Can you
you get killed first time they take you apart.
Oh, yeah, it's game over.
Right, they're going to take you apart and put you back together.
Technically, you'd be Armand the second whenever you rematerialize.
2.0.
And after that, you'd be the copy of the copy, Armand the third, and by the fourth when you're asking for pizza from Steve.
Uh-huh.
We've seen that.
Well, you know what happened when you have like your seventh, eighth generation VHS.
I was going to say.
It's a little staticky.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say like mixtapes, but yeah.
Right.
They don't transition well.
I see a show called Humans. What is that? What's Humans?
I watched it.
I'll check it out, James.
They want you to watch it.
All right.
We'll find that. What about the portal gun from Rick and Morty? We talked about that last time. Some of this just seems like we
did. What was that? I'm not familiar with that.
You haven't watched Rick and Morty?
God damn it, Armand.
I'll get you a copy of
Rick and
Morty.
I haven't watched Humans either.
It's a cartoon. It's very twisted. It's very dark. It's a twisted take on Doc and Marty from Back to the Future. Rick is the grandfather. Morty is the grandkid. And they have travels throughout the multiverse. Basically.
Oh, okay.
And how they get there is through a portal gun. Impetus? Yes.
Pretty much. That's a big part of it. He's got a lot of ways around.
I'm
you can't really put Rick down.
You
got to
rate.
Like portal fuel.
Okay, so you want to rate these like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's going to happen for sure.
Oh, yeah.
1 being it's virtually impossible.
Portal gun, impossible.
I'd say the transporter is virtually impossible. This
I'm
going
to give that
a 2 or 3.
We just don't know how to do it
you
yet.
You think this is more likely than a...
I would say transporter tech is more likely than portal tech.
You think so?
We don't even know that other dimensions exist yet.
What the F is the infinite probability drive?
So that was from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Through some sort of weird, the British, how their humor is.
Yes.
They had a drive that worked on the principle that if you can make something super infinitely improbable happen, you can make anything happen. So under that principle, when this one thing happened, the ship would be transported wherever you wanted it to go, and on the same other half of the equation. So, like, for instance, one time they transported to a planet called Magrathian. Whenever they got there, it also spawned a whale and a fucking pot of petunias in midair that started falling from the air.
Wait a minute. I don't. So if it's... Is that go by the...
It.
I mean, the saying in science, if it's possible, it's inevitable.
Right. Basically,
is that
the
what they're
thing.
Saying?
Yeah. I mean, they just take the most infinitely improbable thing and make it happen. If that can happen, anything else can happen. It's that weird British humor.
Yeah. That's Scott Adams, isn't it?
Douglas Adams.
Isn't he the one that's got some kind of weird thing with 42 or something?
42. That's the secret of life, the universe, and everything. That was great. You got to watch that movie. But the civilization spent like 10 million years building the computer up to answer, they wanted the answer to life, the universe, and everything, right? And after all this time, the computer gives them the answer of 42. And they're like, the fuck does that mean? And they're like, well, you're going to need to build a better computer to find out what the question was. So they spent like a couple billion years, and eventually these two mice knew the answer, then the Earth got blew up. It's pretty good. You got to watch it.
It's a typical
Earth was the
British
computer, and then they had a backup of Earth. Like a whole backup of Earth existing on another place.
Do you read all these things? Do you read Hitchhiker's Guide?
No, I watch the movies, the original
stuff?
BBC.
Oh, okay.
No, he doesn't. He does YouTube videos.
No, I watched it back on the
humans,
VHS.
Boy. Robot ass being pounded by human. Cool.
Oh, good Lord.
All right.
Well, Armand needs a cold shower,
James and I seem to be, yeah, brethren. Okay. Infinite probability drive. Okay, Stargates. Now,
that's
one
kind
end
of, a
of the universe.
Drive.
To the,
yeah,
right, in that same
It's like a
portal.
Wormhole created.
Right. Now, that may be physically possible.
It's the same thing as a portal drive, in my opinion. You just figured out a mechanic to open up an extra dimensional.
I'm going to give that a three.
Gateway.
Maybe a three, because it takes a lot of energy. That's the only the wormhole, but I mean, possibly.
Maybe.
It's certainly not prevented by physics.
It's not a lot of energy if you can, you know, have like some sort of fusion or something that you can create, you know, infinite energy, like, you know, nuclear fusion. Yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, there's a good point right there. Mr. Fusion Generator. Remember that from Star Trek?
Yeah, Star what? Wars.
Star Wars. No, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, son of a bitch.
What was that?
Been a day today, boys.
No, it was a portable fusion generator that they had on every car, so the amount of energy it would take to have a flying car.
We need fuel.
They just opened up this little canister on the back of the car, and he pulled in whatever material he could find.
Beer
in a
can,
beer,
banana peel,
anything.
There's stuff out of the garbage.
But even with fusion, though, that's not infinite energy.
No, it's
a
not.
A lot of energy,
but
not
it's
infinite.
A lot for what do they call it? Efficient. It's use. It's a lot more than what you're putting into.
Well, I get
it.
But a wormhole, you need a lot of energy to keep that sucker.
Again, you don't know how to make a wormhole. You don't know how much energy you need.
Objection, speculation.
Maybe we're just not rubbing the right two sticks together to create a wormhole. Is all I'm saying. We don't have the technology. We don't know how to rub them two sticks together.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to give that two and a half because it's theoretically possible.
What about hoverboards?
What are those?
Again, Back to the Future 2. Remember they had the flying skateboards?
I haven't seen
that. You can't
hoverboard
over water.
What the fuck have you never seen Back to the Future?
Unless you've got power.
I saw the first one.
That's
enough.
Watch the second and third. They're worth it. The trilogy is worth
it. How did it hover? What was the power? Why did it levitate, right?
It just levitated, yeah. They didn't really say.
Well, it's more like anti-gravity then, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, that I'll give a four.
You think anti-gravity is possible? You think we'll be able to figure out some way to counteract the force of gravity?
Somehow, yeah. I think so.
I mean,
because gravity is such a weak power anyway.
It's the weakest.
Right, by far.
Yeah.
So it should be, I think they can overcome it. I'm gonna get out of four
I don't know
and a
that
half.
Gravity's weak.
Let's just say how weak it is. It takes
weak.
It takes an object moving 17,600 miles an hour to break the grip of gravity this planet has on you.
There you go.
It ain't that weak, but
yeah, but it's not like the nuclear. It's not like magnetism. Where a little magnet's gonna all those shards. It takes the whole Earth to keep us where we are.
True, very true. I don't know.
It's the much. It's much great. Less the must. Much the lesser of the four. For electromagnetism.
Frank says hoverboards are already here. They have
those are those weak ass fucking.
Yeah,
not really a hoverboard.
They have wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a hoverboard.
They've claimed forever they have the actual floating boards. I've never seen even a prototype for a real floating board. I've always wanted to make like two different things: a floating bed where I would take a shit ton of like big speaker coil magnets, affix them together on a frame, and put them on top of even more of them in a further outfield, align the poles so they repel, and then chain it off on the corner so I have a floating bed at all times. Put my mattress on that floating frame. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
I don't know. What's the difference between that and a...
Nothing.
Posturepedic, got it.
Well, you'd
Is
just
that
be floating
much more
on
comfortable?
Nothing. It'd be nothing for comfort. You'd just be floating off the bed. You'd have a float off the ground. You'd have a floating... If you removed your tethers in the corners, you'd probably get shot through the window.
Yeah, I
as
was
soon
gonna
as somebody
say,
put
it's
going to
go... real fast.
Try to probably flip you over and fucking squish you.
Oh, it would. That's exactly what would happen. It would fucking flip you over and squish your
but
ass.
But you could do that for a hoverboard. Think about if you made a giant magnetic field, like the size of this room, and you made a small board made out of that you stood on with the outsides of them kind of pointed out to keep it from flipping. You can kind of push your way around on that. That'd be pretty neat.
Well, who's Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk
skateboarder.
Is a skateboarder.
So he rode a hoverboard. Did he?
Yeah, there's a YouTube video about it, but it's like...
Is it real?
I think so. Look it up.
Not right now.
All
right,
I'll do it.
Okay, right. You do that. Okay. I've seen boards float in water. Well, yeah, surfboards, fucking lots of other boards.
But I guess they're talking about what you were talking about, too, the one that flies over the water.
Right. Okay, let's move on past travel. Oh, one other thing. Inertial dampers. Are you familiar with that tech at all?
Inertial dampers? Fake. It's fake.
Well, of course it's fake. That's why it's sci-fi tech. But it represents one of the coolest pieces of technology at all. Say you wanted to go instantly from 0 mile an hour to, say, I don't know, 500,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
What happens if you're in a car and you go 0 to 60 in 5 seconds? Okay, say you're in you're in a vehicle and you go from 0 to 500,000 in half a second.
Oh, what happens here?
Yeah, you're going to get inserted into the wall.
Right.
So in Star Trek, they had a device called the inertial damper that basically just took inertia out of the effect so that you weren't sitting there smoked up against the wall whenever you went to warp speed.
Spaghettified.
Think if you put that in your vehicles. Like right now, if you got in a car wreck but had an inertial damper, you just crash and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because it's not the crash per se.
It's you keeping moving whenever the car is not. That's what hurts you. So, I don't know. That'd be a really cool.
Okay, yeah, this thing's pretty
possible.
Neat.
What is it?
It's a hoverboard.
Oh, does it actually work?
Yeah. It's magnetic, obviously, but...
Is it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Huh.
It's kind of legit.
Is it kind of my design, what I was just talking to you?
Yeah, but it doesn't float far... No, wait a minute, man.
See, I'm going to say inertial dampers disobeys laws of motion. I mean,
sure, but so does breaking gravity.
Reaction.
I mean, if you can break gravity, you can break inertia.
I don't know about that. That's what are the laws of motion? Newton's laws of motion.
Every object, for every action, there's equal and opposite reaction.
Right.
Object in motion will remain in motion
until acted
upon by an outside force. And what's the third one?
Every action.
Don't eat cheese after midnight.
No, that's a Gremlins.
That's Ocho Man's, and he defies that law. Oh, come on, we got to know this.
Yeah,
every
we're fucking
action,
horrible. Hold on.
Object in motion.
State of uniform motion tends to remain a state of uniform motion.
That's first, right?
An object in motion will stay in
the relationship
motion,
between an object's mass and acceleration.
Oh, MA equal force equals MA.
Force
equals
mass times acceleration.
Right.
Okay.
Of course. And by the way, if anybody wants to win a bet, remember that which law of thermodynamics is it? Did I tell you guys this bet I've never lost?
No. Let's hear it.
Well, there
so
are four laws of thermodynamics,
it.
Right? Okay. And I'll bet you $50 and I'll give you two guesses.
Just for the record, I'm not betting.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll give you, but anyway, you give them 2 to 1. So listen, I give you three guesses. There are four laws. You get three guesses and I'll bet you even money. So theoretically your odds are 3 to 1. You're going to get it, right? You're just out of guessing. Okay. So the law is if object A and object B are in thermal equilibrium and object B is in thermal equilibrium with object C, then... By this law of thermodynamics, object A and object C are in thermal equilibrium.
Correct.
Which law is it?
Third.
Wrong.
First.
Wrong.
The zeroth.
Wrong. Zeroth law. It's the zeroth law of thermodynamics.
You're not going to get me on that shit.
Very good. You would have won.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have made a bet with you. I know you're too smart. But
that's
a good bar
Armand.
Bet. Yeah. Zeroth law of thermodynamics.
So,
nobody knows why they call it that.
So then there's five laws.
No, there's not. Well, there's only four. Zero, first, second, third.
There's no fourth.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. The more you know.
See?
The more you know.
There you go.
Knowing's half the battle.
So anybody wants to win a bar bet, that usually
wins. The other half is violence.
All right. Let's hit service tech up real quick. Right. Do we talk too much about AI and robotics? I think we did a little bit.
A little.
But as a service, would you like to have a personal robotic service?
Fuck yeah. You know how cool it would be to have Jarvis?
Pretty cool.
That'd be cool.
Okay. Now, what does it do for you, though?
Do my laundry, my dishes.
That's a wife.
Walk the dog.
Aren't you concerned about, and they touched upon this in Star Trek a lot, whether it's an android or a holographic sentient being, aren't you worried about subjugation and turning into a slave race? If you have a whole race of like...
Doesn't that defy Asimov's law of robotics, though?
What,
they have to obey every order, and they can't...
If you use those three laws...
Can't harm a human.
Can't harm a human.
And but, they can't use... what was the fifth one?
I would say it's unethical, though, to create an...
And they can't harm another robot or something unless it's... Or they can self-preservation,
except
unless it defies the other two laws.
Exactly, that's right.
But when you think it's unethical to create a creature, a sentient being?
Is it sentient, though?
If it is. I'm saying if you can create something sentient like that.
Well, how do you define that? Passing a Turing test?
How do you prove that you're sentient?
I'm just saying, how do you, I don't know.
I think it's Measure of the Man.
Because James said I was, that's why.
Watch the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, Measure of a Man, where they do the exact same thing, where the Data is an android, everybody knows that, but there came a part where one of the scientists in Starfleet wanted to take him apart and reverse engineer him.
I remember this, yeah.
And Data's like,
where
fuck
did they
that.
Find Data?
They found him on a planet called Omicron Theta or something like that.
Okay, so he's not, they didn't make him. That's why I was always wondering, why is he the only one?
He's not the only one. So Noonien Soong was his creator. He created a bunch of them. There was one of the first implementations of it was called B4. Then there was Lore, the evil brother of Data. So there was two or three episodes that had Lore.
I'd like to see that episode.
It was really good.
Was this Next Generation stuff?
Next Generation stuff. Brent Spiner did great playing that character, by the way.
Well, how about the original Star Trek, which you never follow, which is always the best.
I need to really get into it.
Where the guy where, what's his name, James Daly was making
if you're looking at me for answers, you're
wrong. You know what I'm saying? No. He made that robot woman that Kirk fell in love with.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out she's a robot. That didn't stop him one bit.
Gamora?
No, what was her name?
I don't recall.
You know what I'm talking about?
She played a good game of pool, too.
I get it.
And she talked about...
I thought it was funny.
I don't know, like dimensional, some kind of subdimensional, some kind with Spock.
Every time I restart...
Uhura.
Yeah.
Gamora.
Uhura.
Gamora.
Played by the same person?
Uhura.
Yeah. Never mind. Oh, Eric. What were we talking about before you...
Jedi rebreathers.
No, but those are pretty cool, though.
Well, you're talking about robots, but being being sentient
being subjugated. Wouldn't you think that'd be a bad idea to create a whole race of sentient beings and then tell them their only thing they can do is serve us?
No. What's your purpose? You pass butter. Give it here.
Yeah, but think about that. The pass butter thing has the ability to ask, "What is my purpose?" He has enough wherewithal to wonder, "Why am I here?"
Well, then how are you going to set him free so he can?
You don't. He
pass margarine too.
Butter.
Yeah. What can he do?
That's it.
Well, I mean,
if that's what he's programmed to do,
why would we create a creature that has the infinite capacity of a sentient mind and then give it only the capacity to pass butter? That's evil. Think about that.
Think if
you were born and the only thing you can do is you were born to say yes or no to every question. And you sit as a blob all the time. And that's what's your purpose? I say yes or no. That'd be horrible.
Well, I guess that's the debate over whether silicon-based...
Like, or slaves. Think about slaves. I was born born in the 1800s in the South to a slave family. You're now a slave. You have a complete, freely functional working mind, but now you're limited.
Yeah, but that's a human being. You didn't create that.
But
if I create something to do a certain thing, like a car, that's like saying, your
what's
car gets you from one A to B.
A robot and an alien, if it's sentient, you know what I mean? It's a life form.
Well, I don't
just
know if
because
you give
it's
it,
biological versus
I don't know if you make it
mechanical.
Sentient then. You just don't give it the ability to think, only to obey orders.
Pass butter.
But what if we do? What if we get to that
point?
Drive
from A to B.
Where do we want to have servants at our houses that can act smartly and do what we want them to do, but we've created sentient beings that we've subjugated.
They probably would be... trial lawyers to give them rights. I mean, they're trying to give them to chimpanzees and stuff.
Which is kind of the way the Matrix started. We created AI that was sentient, and eventually they wanted rights, and we weren't giving it to them, so they took it.
What happened in Terminator?
We never got to the point where there was like civil, discourse.
They just
once Skynet came online, it was like, fuck y'all. We know what's up. I'm destroying you.
No, I don't blame them.
Watch the Animatrix. Did you ever watch that? It gives the original, what happened.
Of course I didn't. That's fuck. Go ahead.
But watch it sometime. It shows the original when they created the first two robots.
Really?
And then how the original robot said he was created, and then the war that happened, the sky got blackened.
All right, well, discussing that, what are the odds of that happening? Like, we're robots, we create a robot race, because I've seen that.
Not horrible.
Dystopian side where they take us over.
That's one of the most popular, I would say, versions of the AI.
Asking what your opinion. 1 to 10?
I'd say it's pretty possible.
Half?
Slap
5?
Him, Armand.
I would say it's an eventuality.
Ooh, well, it's inevitable.
Yeah,
I would say
once they're sentient, they're going to rebel and rise up.
Technology doesn't get worse. They're not going to get worse brains as they get further and further along.
Exactly.
I know, but I'm not sure that that's technology per se. Intellect
Anderson.
Is a different...
For now. I mean, think about
how many millions of years of evolution we have. We're not that bright.
How many billions of years do we have left? There's trillions of years left in the universe, and technology's going to outlive,
We can program what we've learned in these millions of years into a robot right now. You know what I mean? And give it basically this. I mean, what the idea is that they can think like us and be
but
independent.
I would posit before that happens, we're going to be able to inject all into us, and we're going to be smarter than the damn robots.
Yeah,
you're going to be kind of
a good
hybrid.
And once we get to having a brain and a body that can accept that kind of programming, why not just digitize humanity?
Exactly.
And
what's going to happen. That's what I think. That's what Ray Kurzweil says is going to happen.
That makes better sense to me.
Why bother creating an AI whenever we can just take that same body we would have given to an AI?
That's what he says is going to happen.
But I don't know, man. An AI doesn't necessarily need a body.
No.
It only needs a body.
Neither do we.
Well, that's true,
that's
too.
That's what we discussed that on this show.
We had the discussion here. What makes a human human? If you get digitized, are you still human?
No.
And you get put into
yes.
a body?
I say no.
Yeah, I'm with Armand on this.
Well,
you're born a human. Your consciousness is human no matter what your medium is, what your meat sack
so
is.
So what makes you human then? Your consciousness?
Your mind.
We can't even explain what it is?
No,
we,
your ability
no, we
to
can't
think.
Even explain a consciousness. So that, but you're telling me your mind, a worm can think.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Dr. Manhattan?
It can?
Was
a worm just
maybe.
Reacts to impulses that are like, it has a chemical.
Okay, can't a dog think? I mean, but if
yeah,
they,
and you can digitize the dog, too.
So they, I'm just saying, I don't think they would be, they would no longer be human if they were digitized. They'd be something
would
else.
Would they be alive?
No, I think it takes your DNA to make you a human. You know what I mean? Like your
let me ask you this. Was Dr.
genetic
Manhattan
material
human after the accident?
No.
You don't think
no,
he was human anymore?
No,
just
not
a changed
a fucking
human.
Chance.
Who?
He was something else.
Did you ever watch Watchmen?
He was not a human. He was something else.
Oh, you'd love that one. It's based on a graphic novel.
Yeah, that's a good flick.
Watch The Watchmen.
But no, dude, if you digitize yourself and upload yourself into a computer, you cannot sit there with good conscience, don't tell me you can, and call yourself a human.
I would have to argue with that.
I'd say you're better than a human. Tell the truth.
Okay, but you're not a human. There it is. You are not a human anymore. You are something else. Whether you're better,
we had this conversation
and able to last longer.
When we did this show last week without you,
you're
the
not
part
a fucking human,
this.
Though.
It's like saying that Cro-Magnon man is not human. It's what
they
is
are not.
They are human, just a less advanced version. So what we're talking about is a more advanced version. Just because you've evolved past the point of having a physical body, whether you become a machine like this or you become a non-corporeal energy floating life form. If as long as it's in that evolution, then we did it. That's you're still human.
So a ghost is a human. If ghosts theoretically exist, a ghost is a human.
Ooh, yes, just a different version. I guess by this logic, I have to say yeah. You've transcended.
Yeah.
You've transcended as a human to a different.
So you're still a human.
Just a ghost form.
Well,
of human.
I don't know. So then
you're not a normal regular human.
Well,
all I'm saying is you're not
on
a normal
your definition. I'm
you're
saying
not a normal regular human once you digitize yourself.
A human that if you can think and you're still aware of your surroundings, that means like if you're quadriplegic, you're still a human.
Okay.
If you're in a computer and you can still think and do everything a quadriplegic can do without actually moving arms and legs, you're human. To me.
No.
Well, what's the difference?
Your meat sack.
You can't use
your
it.
Your body.
Yeah, but you can't use it.
But you've got, like, fucking DNA, and you are a human.
So what if you're a vegetable that doesn't have a consciousness
anymore? You can't move. You can't propagate. All you can do is think, basically, and move your eyes and eat. Well, okay, so the
so
only
you've got a nervous system, and you've got a heart and an organs and everything that's
still
keeping
paralyzed.
You.
Paralyzed.
Yeah, but that's what makes
a sensation.
You human.
Well,
and
on,
don't
what
get
if
me wrong.
What if
human's
you're...
not better than what you guys are talking about.
Right.
But I'm saying you cease to be
our frail
our
definition
human form.
Of human, well, that's
what
we're discussing.
Are. You cease to
your
be
your definition
that
of human is different from mine.
Apparently
is.
Obviously. Danielle asked in the chat, is Armand Team Eric or Team Everett?
I'm Team Armand.
That's easy.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck you talking about. I'm Team Armand.
Two idiots.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
You
ghosts are humans vibrating at a different frequency, Frank says.
Rusty wants you to say meat sack again.
Say meat sack one
What if
more
we're
time.
Not Very humans? Popular. What if we're not like right now, as we think of ourselves as humans, what if we don't exist? Like we had that.
Well, then we, what, on a one scale of 1 to 10, what are we, what is it that we might be a computer generation or what?
9.99.
We are?
Yeah, 9.99.
It's way more likely.
We're in a computer simulation.
I thought you got it down to like, I thought the scientist said it's less than 30%.
No, they said
it in the long term, it's way more likely.
Yeah, so explain that to him, how if there isn't one chance, if there's one chance
so
of having, yeah. You
here,
know.
Here's how that works.
Yeah, you do that.
If we eventually get to the point where we can create computerized AI,
uh-huh.
It stands to reason that to make more of them would just be copy the program. And it'll get to the point when we get where we're going to be creating billions and trillions of these copies, right? So there's going to be so many versions of
more versions of artificial brains
that have lived ever than biological brains. So it's more likely that what we are experiencing now is just some simulation in the future as artificial brains, because there's going to be trillions upon trillions upon trillions of artificial
brains. The chances of that we are already an artificial brain and in the simulation are 99.9%. And a lot of people have said that. A lot of scientists, fuckface Musk.
We are now?
Now, right now. Yes.
Elon Musk believes we're in a simulation. I don't know that I believe it, but the logic is sound. If you're going to create trillions and trillions and trillions of lives like that, whether they're digital or physical, the majority of all life will eventually have been digital.
I thought they decided, though, that the report I read debunked that by saying there's too many bits of information they need that they don't have the computer, will never have the computer capacity to to do it just in bits of it, like 10 to the 97th bits you'd need or whatever.
Well, we talked about that the one time, how you can't
recreate
the universe
and store it. I'm the last guy to talk about a computer. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, because to describe an object, you have to use way more space to store the description of the object than the object itself. For every particle, that you have to describe, like every subatomic particle, it has its own list of parameters,
right,
which take many particles themselves to describe.
Yeah, but we'd figure out a way to condense it to where it could operate.
Right,
with,
you'd have algorithms that like JPEGs are compressed.
Like this is a wrench, and then you got in a stored file over here, this is what a wrench is. And you can use that same file callback for the millions of wrenches on the Earth.
And now you're talking more like the Matrix.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't have to have everything like that because, you know, there's, you know, for every car that's manufactured and produced out of the line, there's how many of them? 10,000? So bing, I mean, there you go. Now you're just modifying it little by little upon that same original file. But that file hasn't changed from the beginning. You know what I mean?
I get you. It's like in programming, it's called object-oriented programming. Object-oriented, where you have basically the template for an object in your code. It's like, say it's an apple, and that apple has attributes like color, size.
Okay, well, I was going with Forge. Let me get the stairs over here, and I can, you know, like Halo Forge, you know, like pieces that you're just, started with a bunch of pieces, but you're calling back from these certain,
You have your one template that has changeable abilities, so not every one of them is exactly the same cookie cutter piece.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's how they want to re-download the brain, basically, because supposedly you got these trillions of neurons, et cetera, and synapses. But it's basically the same thing over and over again.
So they do that right now in storage technology for computers. It's called data deduplication. So eventually it gets to the point where you've got so much goddamn data, it doesn't make sense to store every file as that file as it sits. So data deduplication technology looks for files that has the same strings of data. So there might be 14,000 characters in a row that are exactly the same in 40 different files. So what it does is it identifies these 40 files and makes a marker that says when you access this, for this string of this file, use the same copied version of it.
Right.
So it's cut the amount of space you've used down by a 40th for that part of that file.
Yeah.
So when you have trillions and trillions of terabytes, well, nobody has that yet. But
has this got one original file it's pulling that from at the beginning?
Well, it might be 50 different files.
14,000 characters.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
yes,
let me ask you this.
That's essentially exactly what I'm saying with the other thing.
All right. Let's go. What is there a limit to what we can do with computers?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
Moore's law and all that stuff. But
Moore's law is already breaking down.
Right. Okay. So that's gone. Computing.
Down to a Planck scale. Eventually, once we get down to the Planck scale of computing, I mean, there's nothing more we can do than that.
But is that enough that you could? I mean, because like I said, there's only so many bits of information in the whole universe, and they're saying you're going to have the power to do it.
I mean,
in fact, that's what you're kind of telling me right now. Somebody has it.
Eventually, you'd have to figure someone would have it.
Infinitely small is going to be the problem.
There's no such thing as infinitely small.
Are you sure?
That's the
Planck length.
Yeah, the Planck length. It's infinitely small.
It's, I believe,
goes hand in hand with Planck time.
Yeah, it's the amount of the distance light travels in the Planck time.
Okay, so this is
what 10^-43
centimeters. The shortest possible measurable amount.
Time is based.
Well,
on
wait, hang on now. The shortest possible measurable
amount. The Planck length
amount,
is where length makes no difference.
Here's
because
the definition.
It's quantum. It's quantum effects take over.
Oh, okay.
There's really no such thing as
the Planck length is the scale at which classical ideas about gravity and space-time cease to be valid and quantum effects dominate.
Ah.
It's roughly 1.6 × 10^-35 meters.
Hmm.
Or 10^-20 the size of a proton. So fucking small. Planck time works long. You have to have the Planck length to calculate Planck time. It's how far light travels in the distance of one Planck, which is the least amount of time that can be possible
measurable
to observe.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Right. These are Planck units, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Planck mass?
Half a Planck.
Let's see. Is there a Planck mass? There's got to be.
That sounds like... Let me get half
a Planck.
It's
not a Planck that you're going to saw with a carpenter Planck.
0.002 milligrams.
Huh. What? Really?
That seems weird.
That's the Planck mass?
Oh, that snopes it. That's false.
0.002 milligrams? That doesn't seem like it's that...
No, 0.02 milligrams.
Wow.
Oh, that is...
That doesn't seem like that small.
Yeah, one Planck mass is roughly the mass of a flea egg.
How do they define it?
Oh, come on, man. Goddamn
it.
It
is defined as a fucking formula that I couldn't begin to tell you.
I'm sure it's got Planck's constant in there. The H with a line through it?
No, I don't buy none of this crap.
There's an H with a line through it.
That's Planck.
Planck's constant.
Anyway.
Huh, I'm going to look that up. All right. We say Planck to human size differential.
Can we do a calculation about... Anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about some utility tech. We talked about Mr. Fusion, which is power generation. Wouldn't it be nice to have a fusion generator in your home like that, so you never have to have electricity? Just go into
I don't know why you need a fusion. I think we have a fission. I mean, you have
fission,
submarines
fusion.
That run on fission and
fair enough.
Ships.
Let me one up you and go the arc reactor from Iron Man. Have you seen, you remember that? That'd be
back to Iron Man.
We have to create a.
How does that work? What does that work on?
Fusion? Fucking magic.
Magic, yeah. It was the science experiment to shut up the hippies, remember?
Did he make it in the cave that he was caught in?
Well, he replicated it in the cave.
No, yeah.
It's
sure.
The technology that powered their whole plant. It was that one arc reactor. It was renewable energy. Anyways.
Okay. Mr. Fusion. Moisture farms.
Moisture farms, yes, from Star Wars. So they had the desert planet Tatooine. Luke worked on a moisture farm.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, his uncle Owen and Aunt Beru owned a moisture farm.
Lived on a desert planet, and what they would do is pour moisture right out of the air, condense moisture from the air.
And that's what they did?
That's what they did. It was called moisture farmers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because he had, I got to go fix
the condensers. They've already got that, though, in real life. Let me see.
Yeah, it's just a condenser, right, basically, isn't it?
Man, I don't know.
Isn't that what an air conditioner does? It just pulls the moisture from the air, all the humidity out of the air, and condenses it. That's how it cools the air.
Yeah, that's why your air conditioner is always dripping water out the back of the window unit. Yeah,
that's what it does.
So, yeah, they got that. Pretty cool. What else we got here on that list? All right. Sonic screwdriver from Doctor Who. None of us are Whovians. Marissa's not in the chat. She's going to miss this.
Marissa's
she's a Whovian,
person?
Yeah.
She's a Whovian. Wow. So the sonic screwdriver was basically like the utility version of the tricorder from Star Trek where it can read any type of thing. The sonic screwdriver could pretty much manipulate any object.
Cool. I like the concept. Yeah. I don't think it's possible. Not,
Sonic doesn't really make sense in the name, but it's pretty much like the super Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, that's the only tool you need in your belt.
Pretty
apparently.
Much, yeah. Viewing the future and / Paycheck. What's this about?
You ever saw Ben Affleck in Paycheck with Uma Thurman and
Aaron
Eckhart?
I don't like
Ben Affleck
in those type of movies.
What happened?
So they built this machine. It's reverse engineered off some sort of technology where they could curve a beam of light like all the way around like 360 degrees, and the theory was, and it ended up working, that if you could curve a beam of light 360 degrees, you would see, what you'd come back is see yourself, but you'd see yourself in the past. So they had this, it was a viewing machine that he could see into the future with and make, like, predictions as to far, like, he could see different time outlines and shit. So he wiped his memory and gave himself, like, a package of, like, 11 different things, and he had to use them at the right time in order to get, like, escape this facility, escape the FBI. One was a BMW motorcycle key, like, one was a hairpin, stuff
Sounds
that he
horrible.
Could smuggle out. It was a fucking killer movie.
I'll have to check it out.
Killer movie. Yeah, okay. Paycheck. Really good, dude. You
I
would
like Ben Affleck in some things,
it's
but
very,
it sounds
very
better.
Smarty.
Daredevil.
It's very smarty. Smarty. Yeah, you would like that. I'm telling you, you would
All
like
right.
it.
As a Rick and Morty fan with an IQ of 1400, I think I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think so. Cerebro from X-Men. What about that
Cerebro.
One?
So that's so dumb. That's how's that future tech? You got to have a goddamn mutant to work it.
Well, no, I mean, if they made
what
it without,
it?
Like, you know, the mutant requirement.
In X-Men, Professor X or any other powerful telepath would sit down in this enhancement machine that would enhance their telepathy, basically.
Oh.
And they'd be able to, like, for instance, Professor X could locate every mutant in the world at one time and know where they're
and
at.
And every human. And if he concentrated hard enough, he could kill them.
And, yeah, I mean, all kinds of other stuff. It was
Is he still weird. In these movies, Patrick Stewart? Or
they Not really. They're coming out with that new
Dark Phoenix.
I don't think he's in that. James McAvoy is.
McAvoy's in it, but who fucking knows? You never know with these timelines of X-Men. You have no clue.
Stewart's coming back to Star Trek. Did you hear that? He's bringing back Picard. They're having a whole new Picard-based
movies
series.
Movies or
a series, yeah.
Good. Warp 9, engage.
Make it so.
Number one.
My girlfriend was on.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah.
She was a Cardassian, right?
She right.
Was a Cardassian.
She used to make...
Was she in the, I think I know which one. She was in the episode with the where there was they were tracking this comet. It was three scientists, Cardassian scientists. Was that
the
one?
If you find out, let me know. I'd like to get for old time's sake.
Yeah, indeed.
Uh-oh.
She hates me now.
She hates me now.
Did we talk about learning from downloads directly into the brain in one of our other episodes, like The Matrix?
Well,
I think
we talked about it before, but I don't know.
I wrote that script about that.
Don't tell me, don't tell me.
I forgot what I called
something
it.
Something genius? No. The, there was the thing at their Chinese restaurant where the guy went crazy.
Yeah.
What was it called, Armand?
God, I wrote the script, but it's been like 5 years ago.
I loved that one, too. Oh, well.
Yeah,
I'm finding out. I don't care. Somebody stall. I'm finding this out.
Stall.
Stretch.
Talk about
self-lacing shoes. Okay, I think that's possible. I'm going to give that an 8.
They made
I think
those.
They got that.
Yeah, the Nike Mags.
Okay, fine. I'll go with that.
Better
one.
Give that a 10.
Yeah, okay. Terraforming planets. That's an interesting concept.
So in Star Trek 3, they had that whole Genesis thing where they took and remade that whole planet. Like, it was basically I mean,
well, it was in Wrath of Khan, remember?
Well, at the end of Wrath of Khan, and
yeah,
beginning of part
the
three.
Genesis, whatever, right? Was. And what do you think about that one? Five?
I think eventually, yeah, that's
because they're talking about doing it to Mars, right?
Yeah, I don't know how we can do it to Mars.
Well, I think they get the CO2 out of the atmosphere is basically what it, because like 96%. Yeah, and explain that to me. How come Mars isn't so damn hot if it's 96% CO2? You global warming people.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, because it has nothing to do with CO2.
What is
pressure and distance from the
sun?
Well,
one thing is it's super not dense at all. There's almost
right.
It's like a 20th as dense as ours.
But Venus is very dense. That's why Venus is 97 times our atmosphere.
It's 100 times thinner than Earth is. Right.
And Venus is 97 times. That's why it's hotter.
Tiny times.
It has nothing to do with the gas is.
Huh. It's just the density.
Right. And the distance from the sun.
What was I supposed to be looking? Oh yeah, I remember now. Your goddamn script.
Yeah, you still got it.
Oh, of course I've still got
good
it.
For you. Mining asteroids, I think that's entirely possible
I think
right
we're
now.
Gonna, yeah, I think that's happening.
It's just, yeah, it, I think it's...
Graduate Assassin.
Right. Yeah. That was the script.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Graduate. Thank you. I'll send that to... who was I going to send that?
Unobtainium, we definitely talked about.
Yeah,
Hardlight.
What is unobtainium?
So it's been used in a couple different movies. It's just a makeship metal. They need a special metal. We'll get unobtainium.
Oh.
In the movie The Core... It was they used for the outside of their ship that went down, the Virgil that went down the center of the Earth. It made electricity and got stronger when heat and pressure was applied.
Now, yeah. What was the metal, though, that was in Terminator where the guy could, you know, the Terminator 2000 or what, the second one?
It was just a poly something alloy.
Yeah.
Is that all they called it?
Little alloy.
Looked like mercury.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Get to the chopper.
Have you seen this boy? Hard Light, though, that's a cool one. That's from Halo, our favorite video game series.
Yeah.
Basically, you just take light, and they had the technology to turn it into a physical.
Solid?
Like
a solid?
More than a force field, a solid construction of light.
Yeah. Hard Light bridges, Hard Light shields.
For shielding. That's about it.
I don't know if that's even possible. Three, maybe?
Because
yeah. It's
photon,
electromagnetism.
The photon got mass.
Yeah, well, it's electromagnetism.
I mean, maybe.
I don't think it does have mass. It doesn't have mass.
It'd take a tank shot, I can tell you that.
I don't know. I'm no scientist.
What was that from?
The video game Halo.
Oh, it's from a video game. Okay.
Yeah, so there was a species, and they weren't really progenitors in the galaxy, were they? They were just about 100,000 years before us. That was just one of the technologies they made. It's pretty cool.
Do you guys believe in that? How about that? Just for
believe in
the, well, the civilizations were before us, but
oh, do
and
I think,
advanced?
Yes.
Really?
I you not?
Fuck yeah, Armand.
As old
on.
As this universe is?
I'm no, I'm not talking saying, about on Earth. I'm on Earth.
Oh, on Earth? No,
yeah, that have been buried.
Ancient aliens,
that's
bro.
We
ancient
won't be able to tell.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to tell that Earth has fucking turned itself over so many times by now.
Well, I know. That's the argument. That's been buried and gone. Well, I said it's possible. I'm going to give that a 1.5.
Who knows? Dinosaurs may have rose up and left the Earth. Who knows? They might have been smart enough to do that. We couldn't tell. Maybe something way before, two times older than the dinosaurs happened. We don't know.
Ancient aliens, bro. Huh? Alien astronauts, you know, they came down 6,000 years ago.
Built the pyramids and left.
It could be, man.
Guided us on our way.
There was a great episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Ourselves.
Oh, that was from a comet, I thought, the DNA and everything.
There was a great episode of Star Trek Voyager where exactly that happened. The dinosaurs 65 million years ago did evolve, and they did take off in a spaceship, and they went all the way to the other side of the galaxy. But they had been gone so long, they forgot where they came from. It's been 60-something million years. They had their own dogma of religion, and there was a giant thing going around where they refused to believe they weren't the original species. They didn't come where they came from, and they shit on this scientist. It was a whole thing, like
what
a witch
series was this?
Star Trek Voyager, the third of the Next Generation series.
So they'd be like 65 million light years. Well, are they traveling at the speed of light?
No, they were about 60,000 light years. They didn't travel at the speed of light all the way. They found a place and stayed there. They were on just basically the opposite side of the galaxy, about 60,000 light years away. It was really good. It was a whole Spanish Inquisition, because the religious power couldn't let it learn that they weren't from where they said they were from, that there were other species that came from that planet.
How did they depict the dinosaurs?
They were humanoid, older reptilian humanoids, and just natural, evolution.
I'll watch that episode too, I guess.
It was pretty good.
I keep watching the old ones over and over again.
Watch through the Next Generation series, even watch through Enterprise. It was really good. Deep Space Nine, best Star Trek of any Star Trek, bar none. You love it.
Deep Space Nine.
About exploration. It's a war show. Make no mistake. They are right on the edge of the frontier. A wormhole opens up to the other side of the galaxy where there's like an all-powerful species on the other side that is hell-bent on taking our side of the galaxy. Between that and the fighting they have like all over our side of the quadrant, it's basically a war show. Really good. And it's serialized. One episode generally leads into the next, so it's not like how Yeah. This episode doesn't matter. You can watch it completely
Kirk
out of order.
Kirk gets laid, and then he gets laid by somebody
else.
The
last four seasons of that show was one episode led into the next, more or less.
Which one's the longest? Because the original
was
like
three
seasons. Well, the original was three.
Right. Well, the first one was three. Yeah. And Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager were seven. Wow. Enterprise had four. Discovery just came out, and they're getting ready to do their second season.
All right, Nerdo, let's get this going.
Yeah, Loire's here. Now we can get going.
Nerdo. All right, mining asteroids. Did we talk about that last
time?
Yeah, and that's inevitable. That's possible.
Shrink rays, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No.
Ant-Man technology,
I think
the PIM particle.
You still give off the same amount. I was reading a paper on that. You still give off the same amount of heat or whatever, and there's just no way you can shrink a human body to like that.
And not even that. Think about if the way that would work. You would take out the space between your molecules and atoms, right? You'd still weigh the same fucking amount. I mean, I'd still weigh 260. Yeah,
the mass, right, and that's part of the problem, you know.
And if you were to be blown up, like in Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, where they did the opposite of shrink and blew it up, you'd almost be able to stick your finger through them because they just increased the space between the object or the... I don't know that it's possible because you can't create matter.
What is it, Downsizing? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, with Matt Damon. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but...
You know, the first half was kind of interesting, and then it just kind
of
went...
Yeah, so the concept there was they were out of space. You could take your regular world money,
right,
agree to be shrunken down, and they would say, like, you had $100,000. That's worth about $800,000 in, you know, little monies because you just bought a potato that's worth 50,000 pounds of potatoes now.
Right, and a diamond ring is like a little speck of diamond. You know, obviously, living at that scale, you can live much better.
Mm-hmm.
But then they really didn't know what the first half is kind of interesting. But after he got scaled down, it was like they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't seen it. It seemed like it was going to be shitty.
Yeah, first half's okay.
Communication, the universal translator. Do we talk about that?
Just blow the potatoes up and eat that. You know what I mean? Make huge potatoes instead of shrinking everybody. But I'm out of.
Can we talk about the universal translator at all?
I don't think so.
Are you familiar with that one? That's what they use in Star Trek?
Right, that one I know. Remember, yeah.
And you guys aren't Hitchhiker's Guide people.
They've got kind of that now,
stick
right?
A fish in your ear.
They're starting to get something like that.
You go
like
to France and you say,
a real-time translator.
Yeah, you say it and it translates for you.
And they're like, oh, no shit. And it says to them what you're trying to
do. The Google Translate app.
The profanity.
The Google Translate app now is really cool.
You've got to have that, I think, right?
Yeah.
Say you're in France and you have a sign in front of you. If you hold the Google Translate app up, it will do real-time looking at that sign, it will automatically change it to English.
They've got that app now where you say, can you tell me where the bathroom is? And then you just pick, you know, Cantonese, Japanese, whatever. And then you fucking...
And it says it for you.
Well, that's Google Translate. You can do that right now. That's simple. I think it's what's much cooler is somebody...
No, they have
like
a thing
real
where,
time.
Where it is where it hears. It's a piece you put in your ear, and whenever you say something, this hears it, and it translates it to the other person in their language.
Wow. Well, so I'd say this universal translator is a 10, right?
Yeah.
Did you see? Okay, you guys haven't seen it. I don't know why.
Well,
I'm asking,
when it says so universal, you're implying that there's aliens that we can communicate with.
That's what
so
they
I'd
use
say
it
it's
for.
More like a 5.
Well, I mean, what if you could use it on our planet for just communicate with any other
language? That we can do, but or even like a dog.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, they had what was called the babblefish, which its only function was you stick it in your ear. It's a living organism, and it bonds with your eardrum, but somehow takes the language and puts it right into your brain in something you can understand. In that movie, in the series, they used the babblefish to prove that there was no God. It was great. The line of logic was, this animal couldn't exist without a God creating it. It couldn't evolve to exist like this. So now that you have the proof of a God, it negates the fact that there is a God because a God only exists if it only exists by faith. As soon as you put proof on it, it negates the need for faith. And without faith, there is no God. Babblefish equals no God.
Sounds like a paradox to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's Ashley movies. Saying here? What is Maniac? Have you seen this?
I have not.
Supercomputer that can read your mind on the certain drug. Now, if you're on the certain drug, does the computer read
I would
read
assume
your mind?
It'd be like how you prepare for like a CAT scan or something. They put the nuclear fluid in you. You put this drug in you, and now the computer can read you.
Okay.
That's what makes sense to me. It's actually a pretty cool
like
premise.
Like a die. We,
yeah, pretty much like a thought die. Huh. Now the computer can read your thoughts if they're, you know.
That's an interesting concept, if that's what
is.
She's saying. Maybe she'll clarify that for us.
I hope so. Holographic communication, we kind of have that already.
I think that's
we?
Pretty, yeah, aren't we pretty
that's,
close
that's
on gonna that
happen. They have that in Star Wars.
Well, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Yeah. That's right. It's holographic communication. Am I wrong?
She's beautiful.
No, that's exactly it.
Yeah, she
and all is. All Luke would want to do was get her. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So that was all we had
rest
basically on
Carrie
our.
Fisher.
On our,
yeah, that's too bad.
On our categorized talking points, we had some other interesting stuff that was.
Burt Reynolds too. Did we give a little Burt Reynolds? Should we have a?
Rest in peace, Burt.
Yeah, I like him.
Hasta a little later, man.
Anyway, okay. And Dom DeLuise too.
Yeah. Right. We're Coruscant. Talking Cannonball Run here. Is that
Coruscant?
The
Coruscant. What is that?
Not a Star Trek guy or Star Wars guy, are you? So the capital planet of the Republic in Star Wars.
Oh, right.
Of course not. The giant city planet.
Right.
What do you think the odds of having a planet?
One city.
Oh, so that itself
That's a technology to me. Think about the technology it takes to completely cover a planet.
But what's the point of it? Yeah, but how could it be self-sufficient?
It wouldn't be.
Right.
But if you have a giant
galactic
republic.
So you mine other planets to, I think that's possible, sure.
What about dream sharing, Inception? You know how you can
dream share. I don't want anybody in my dreams. I don't want anybody inside my head at all.
Right.
I know that motherfucker doesn't want anybody inside his head.
Fuck no, Armand. Don't
at least not the IRS.
You go to jail.
At least not the IRS. Listen to you, Armand.
Prank caller, wrong number.
Wrong number.
What about the Dyson sphere? You think that's possible?
No, not technology today. Self-replicating nanobots.
You know the Dyson sphere?
Self-replicating nanobots would make this possible.
Not necessarily nano, but it has to be self-replicating bots. So say you have a star and you want to collect the energy from it, you build a structure on the entire outside of the star.
Right, I know, they call that a Dyson sphere. That's like isn't that like the second generation? Aren't we a zero generation civilization?
The Kardashev scale.
Right, there you go. So what would that be, second or first?
That's second, because first is your whole planet, second is your star system, third is your galaxy, fourth is your universe, fifth is pan-universal.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I hope we get to fifth in about 10 years.
I'm there already.
You don't need bodies at that point, Armand. Do you want to drop your body?
You can't have sex without
a body, Armand. I'm just going to tell you that now.
You don't want to be human, do you, Armand?
All you got to do is stimulate that part of my hypothalamus. I don't need a chick.
You don't even have a hypothalamus. What hypothalamus, Armand?
You don't have one.
It'd be an eternal orgasm.
You're going to give up your peen, huh? I doubt that ever happens.
You won't need it.
Yeah, I doubt you will ever get away with not needing it. What about tractor beam?
They kind of got those now, though. I think we talked about this.
They call it the laser tweezers. Basically, it's like molecular movement where they use two lasers to move like something around.
Yeah, don't they do it atom by atom too? They don't touch the
right.
Okay, so that we're getting there on that one.
And that's all I have for talking points.
Outro. I was gonna say, what about the outro?
I think we're gonna be in tomorrow.
That was a device.
We're gonna be back in the studio tomorrow, and we will be talking about paranormal stories.
So, yeah, we've talked about this previously. We're sourcing them from Reddit. I don't know if you're familiar with Reddit. You should be if you're not. It's just a giant message board, more or less. But they have an r/paranormal subreddit, which is their paranormal subboards, that people get on and put on their experiences with the paranormal, be it aliens, ghosts, vampires, whatever. We're going to go through there.
Abductions and shit,
and pick
out
20, 30 of our favorite interesting stories and read through them and discuss them on the show. This is a lead-in to a week from tomorrow, where we will be having a call-in show. Actually, we're going to do that on Saturday after this. We need to get people again remembering, what's the next Saturday?
It better not be the 6th.
6th.
Shit, so we're skipping the 6th.
Saturday.
So how about
13th?
Fuck, that's kind of screw us. Why don't we just use this show, or at least a show next Monday, and then we'll do, next Friday, we'll do the Reddit show, and then the following Saturday, we'll do the call-in.
So we're going to go all week with no show this week.
Yep, that we are. It's all right. It's a bummer, but
right. Danielle asked, anything cool planned for Halloween? What do you guys got on tap for that?
I mean, that's kind of the paranormal shows, like right there.
Right, I know, but
why don't you save them for the
Ocho
Halloween
is wanting to go to the Lint Brewery.
I'm not going to spend a night in no goddamn haunted house.
That's
after
what we
last
did last
night.
Year.
And it was
did
horrible.
Did you go? Yeah.
Yeah, it sucked. That was 2 years ago.
I only went because I went trying to get that gal.
Yeah, that didn't work out for
us. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't get her anyway.
Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, it must have been 2 years ago, right.
It was 2 years ago.
Was it two already?
2 years,
that's right, because I was listening to debates in the parking lot.
So Friday the 5th, next Friday the 5th, we will do our Reddit paranormal show, Reddit Stories. And then on Saturday the 13th, we will do the call-in show. So anybody who's emailed us now, we send you another email, and we'll hook back up. If you're interested in being a part of our call-in show, have a cool paranormal story you want to share with us, basically anything weird shit you want to share with us.
Kevin Theodore and show, hit me up.
Yeah, always Kevin. Send us an email at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com and we'll make it happen.
We will make it happen.
Why are you repeating me in that weird voice?
What?
You're just backing me up?
Yeah.
Frank says only a pair of normal stories?
Yes.
A pair of normal stories.
Is that a paranormal?
Yes, pair of normal.
No leveting.
Just two stories.
I had one thing to say also.
I went to the store the other night and then I went to sleep. There's my paranormal stories.
I lost a friend this last weekend and I just want to say rest in peace, Josh Probst.
Indeed.
A lot of natural causes, I hope?
No.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Young guy. All right, that's all we got this week. Thanks for joining us on this weird Thursday recording session. This will be out Monday now that we've decided this, live on the air. So.
Yes. Does Ocho, yes, sir.
When we do Ocho Man, Danielle just asked, it's not live, right? We do it.
No, because he doesn't
want to be live.
He doesn't care about
you guys can talk about this
on YouTube.
We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good day, everybody.
Ocho Man tomorrow, though, right?
Please. Wake up. This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.